I don't care if you're a corporate jet setter or a homeschooling mom of five, this podcast is for you. Because we're all looking for ways to live and work with more passion and to create beautiful, peaceful homes. We face many challenges in today's do-it-all culture, but the great news is there are real solutions out there to help us build the lives of our dreams, and you're going to find those solutions right here.
You're listening to the Living Rich Podcast. Here's your host and creator of LivingRichOnLess.com, Susan Penning.
Hello, and welcome to the premiere episode of the Living Rich Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey, and thank you in advance for your patience as I find my groove here with this whole podcasting thing. Well, today I am covering what appears to be a very hot topic. I recently did a three-part series on my blog on why are today's homes so filthy and what can we do about it, and that generated a lot of buzz, so I figured, hey, this might make a pretty good podcasting episode. So that's what we're going to dig into today. So let's kick things right off. Why are today's homes so filthy, or why does it seem that way, more so than ever before? Well, I've done some research on this theory, and I've come up with a few reasons behind this whole thing about why today's homes are so much more filthy than they were in the past. And let's unpack that a little bit. Well, first of all, did you know that the average size of the American home in 1950 was 983 square feet, whereas the average size of the American home in 2010 was 2,377 square feet. Let me repeat that. In 1950, the average home was 983 square feet. In 2010, the average size was 2,377 square feet. That is a heck of a lot more space to clean. And interestingly, you would think, you know, if you're moving into a bigger home, you have more space to kind of spread out. And actually, the opposite has been true for me. What happens is, aside from the fact that you've got double the amount of square footage to clean, double the rooms, etc., you also have to furnish those rooms. So that means twice the nightstands to dust, twice the windows to clean. You get the idea. So we have a lot more space to clean nowadays. Secondly, in the 1950s, around that time frame, and even when I was a kid in the 1980s, you know, parents were accustomed to letting their kids play outside for the majority of the day. Shoot, even in the winter months, we played outside. Often we were going next door with neighborhood friends. So we spent the majority of our free time outside. In fact, many of our parents wouldn't even allow us to come inside to play. And if we did, it would be down in the basement or in a designated play area. And of course, less time with kids inside the house equals way less mess. And, you know, lastly, back in the 1950s, you know, the role for the majority of women was to keep the house in order and to take care of the children. Many of them didn't work outside the home. And ladies, boy, do we have a lot more going on these days. We just don't have the time to do all this cleaning. So, you know, that's one reason for why I believe homes are so much more filthy nowadays. We've also taken what I call a more is more approach. And in case you haven't noticed, advertisers out there, they don't refer to us as people. They call us, what do they call us? Consumers. They've gotten great at convincing us of what products we can't live without, and we've gotten really crappy at telling ourselves no. So what that equates to is a house filled to the gills with clutter and junk. And honestly, that's a symptom of a bigger problem, but that's a topic for a whole other podcast episode. So we have way too many things and nowhere to store them all. I mean, why clean when we can shop for cleaning tools on QVC, right? Lastly, we are sabotaged by distractions. I mean, for most of us, cleaning is not exactly the most fun activity. So we are happy to oblige any distraction that comes our way to keep us from doing this. It's easy for us to avoid cleaning when we have so many important things to do, like, I don't know, watch the Real Housewives of New Jersey not clean their houses, right? But the point is that as much as we would like to pass the toilet brush, so to speak, we're going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror and admit we are helping to contribute to the mess in our homes, and we've got to do something about it. I mean, otherwise, no one can ever come visit us. We can't fellowship with other people, and we really want to make time to do that. So the good news is that, I don't know, admitting we have a problem is the first step, right? So let's look at how we can create a game plan that works, keeps our house in order, and still lets us have a life. I have always been one of those people who's made valiant efforts to try to keep my house looking neat and clean. When my husband and I were first married, things were pretty manageable. But fast forward 10 years, add in an Irish Terrier and two kids, and wow, it's been a game changer. I tried to keep up by reading pretty much every cleaning and organizing book I could get my hands on. I developed elaborate chore schedules, but no system was really sustainable for me. And I finally got smart about 2 or 3 years ago and figured if I was ever going to have a company over again, I needed to devise a plan that was going to work with my personality, my schedule, and my energy level. So here's what I came up with that works for me. Now, step one, what I do is I deep clean one room every 1 to 2 days. I do not really embark on spring or fall major cleaning projects because my rooms are deep cleaned on a fairly regular basis. How does this work? Well, I will start a cleaning rotation, let's say, on my ground floor with the dirtiest room, which usually is the kitchen. I'll spend about 2 days working on the kitchen. Each day will require about a half hour of dedicated time. I'll dust and wipe off all the surfaces, including cabinet doors, drawers. I'll clean out the microwave and refrigerator. I will sweep and mop the floor, and I'll take care of any piles that are on the countertops. And then, of course, dishes are cleaned and put away as well. The kitchen usually takes me a little longer, maybe 45 minutes each day. Now, after 2 days of cleaning the kitchen, for example, I'll move on to the next room on the ground floor. So it takes me about 2 weeks to finish deep cleaning each floor because sometimes, you know, I'll poop out, I'll skip a day, but that's okay because I can just pick up where I left off. And this allows all the rooms in my home to get deep cleaned about once every month. I work on one floor at a time, so I don't have to lug a vacuum. I really only have one working vacuum, and it allows me not to have to lug the vacuum and the cleaning supplies up and downstairs as often. Now, here's a note. I don't always go through the same checklist of tasks when I'm deep cleaning a room. For example, after getting through the basics, I might dust baseboards one time around in a room, and the next time I get to that room, I might organize a drawer. The point is that after a while, the whole place starts looking pretty well maintained, even though I'm only getting to rooms about once a month. Now, step two, I delegate a lot. Now, anyone with kids or pets knows that cleaning one room every 1 to 2 days, like what I've just talked about, probably ain't going to cut the mustard. There's a lot of regular crap that needs to be done, like dishes, laundry, picking up toys, and this is where I enlist my troops. Because I have a fairly regular time of the day when I get into what I call deep cleaning mode, the families come to expect that this is when we're going to start doing the chores, and we all pitch in at the same time, which minimizes the whole whining about who's doing more than somebody else. We're just all doing it at the same time of the day, if we can. During this time, I focus on whatever room I'm deep cleaning, and I delegate whatever else I can to the rest of the family. So my husband will do dishes, he'll fold laundry, empty trash. Our daughter Eva, she'll sweep a floor, she'll tidy up her room very reluctantly, and she'll put away toys and other junk that we tell her to. We call this indoor chores. It's part of her checklist of activities she needs to do in the day. At the end of the day, if everything works as planned, I get a room completely deep cleaned and the rest of the family has helped keep up with the everyday regular stuff. And one note here, I do try to do one load of laundry every single day if I can, which keeps that whole situation from burying me alive. Step number three, keep it simple. Now, I use a portable cleaning caddy where I store multi-purpose, non-toxic cleaners. I love Shackley's line. That's what I use primarily. And this cleaning caddy actually travels with me from room to room as I clean. I keep small trash bags in there, paper towels, wash rags, and this means I don't have to make a bunch of trips around the house for different supplies that I might need. I can just carry the caddy with me room to room, kind of like what I do with the vacuum cleaner. I take the vacuum into whatever room I'm deep cleaning, I use it, and then I store it in the next room I'm about to work on. I don't worry about taking it in or out of a storage closet every single time I use it. In fact, I don't really even have any storage closets on my ground floor, which is a whole blog post that I covered. I occasionally like to use fun gadgets like steam mops and things like that, but I typically go for the products and the tools that get the job done super fast. And for me, that usually means I love to use white cloth diapers for dusting and cleaning my windows. I use a Swiffer sweeper vac for the floors, and I use an old-fashioned string mop for cleaning my hard floors. Over the years, I've gotten some great tips regarding, you know, different efficient products and tools. But the most helpful tip I've ever gotten and that I've implemented in my own home is the fact that for this system to work, for this deep cleaning system to work, you have to have a fairly decluttered house. So what if you don't? What if you're saying, oh my goodness, how could I deep clean a room in my house in 1 half hour or 1 hour? With all the clutter and dirt and debris that's accumulated, I would need at least 20 hours. So what do we do if we're at that spot?
Well, I would recommend using a system that is loosely based on the Mount Vernon method. And the Mount Vernon method was created and named by a lady named Sandra Felton. She writes many books on cleaning and organizing. My favorite is How Not to Be a Messy, and that's where she talks about her Mount Vernon method. Now, actually, my deep cleaning strategy for doing each room a day, deep cleaning each room a day, is closely based on the Mount Vernon method, but I like to use it for getting a room in order and organizing it as well. So what is the Mount Vernon method? Well, in Sandra Felton's book, she writes that while touring George Washington's estate at Mount Vernon, one of her cleany friends, as she likes to call them, was so impressed with how spotless the place was that she was compelled to ask the head of housekeeping how they did it. And the housekeeper explained that she actually directs the staff to start at the front door and work their way around the outside periphery of a room, and once they're done, they proceed on to the next room. A few minutes before the doors to the estate open, the housekeepers pack up their supplies, leave, then come back the next day and pick up where they left off. And if that sounds familiar at all, it is, as I mentioned earlier, kind of pretty much what I do with my deep cleaning method. Now, how do I apply this in a situation where you don't have enough hours in the day to deep clean a room? Because, you know, obviously it's easy to clean Mount Vernon because George isn't coming home with dirty coffee mugs or backpacks filled with papers and moldy snacks. In other words, there's no one there to mess things up. So, but the good news is the Mount Vernon method will actually work even if your rooms are not in a condition to be quickly deep cleaned. And here's how. What I would recommend and what I've done in the past, before my rooms are deep clean ready, so to speak, I start by focusing my efforts on one task in one room, and I spend my half hour working only on that project. So, for example, let's say right now you're drowning in clutter and debris and dirt, and you're basically treading water. Well, I would say continue to do whatever you're doing just to stay afloat. But in addition to that, take your half hour, set a timer if it helps motivate you to work quickly, and pick one project in one room. Say, you know, the room that I need to finish right now and get deep clean ready is my living room. So I'm going to spend a half an hour organizing and cleaning, for example, the TV console. So you would dust it, you would take out the drawers, you would throw away anything that needs tossed, you would clean it out on the inside, you would organize it very well, until the entire piece of furniture is completely clean and organized. And then the next day, you would use your half hour to move on to another part of the living room, deep cleaning, decluttering, or organizing. That's your goal. And eventually, you know, it might take you, it might take you a few weeks. It might take you a month. Eventually, you're going to be looking at a completely decluttered, organized, and clean living room. And from there, you would go to the next room that needs decluttered and organized and Mount Vernonized, so to speak, until eventually your entire home is Mount Vernonized. And from there, you can begin to put in place the deep cleaning method, half-hour deep cleaning method, so that your rooms are now in what I like to call maintenance mode. When you're Mount Vernonizing a room in this way, I think it's important to remember that this is really not a sprint. It's more of a marathon. So if you can, try not to get overwhelmed by looking at the house as a whole, because you're going to think, why am I cleaning this TV console out when my entire house is a complete disaster? But you really need to focus on the bite-sized chunk you're working on today, because in the end, as you work from chunk to chunk to chunk, you're actually putting your home in a place where it can be maintained and not just complete chaos. And this will also help keep you from going into freakout mode. Just remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I would even consider rewarding yourself when you finish Mount Vernonizing a room. One note of caution for you, however, you may want to save your kitchen for last. As Sandra Felton likes to say, kitchens are not for amateurs. So I've discovered that the Mount Vernon used in this way really often requires me to make some very ruthless decisions about what I get rid of and where I store stuff. You know, the old adage of a place for everything and everything in its place is really important if you're using this method and your goal is to get your home well organized and in maintenance mode. And this is the price I pay for a home that is clean, peaceful, and happy. I can't keep every single thing that comes in and not get rid of something. I have to make difficult decisions about saying no to the things that come in and saying yes to the things that might need to go out. So if you have a hard time with this, this may be an opportunity for growth. I would definitely encourage you to ask yourself the questions of, do I use it regularly? Have I used it in the last year? If the answers are no to both of these questions, it may be time to either toss it or give it to someone else and let it bless them. And if you don't believe me, if you think you can have your clutter and enjoy it too, so to speak, you might want to watch an episode of Hoarders. So, with that being said, in today's episode, you know, we've looked at some of the reasons why it's more difficult to keep our homes clean nowadays. We've explored my half-hour a day deep cleaning method that keeps my house within 15 minutes of being company ready. And this is a system that is loosely based on the Mount Vernon method coined by Sandra Felton. And if you're overwhelmed by clutter and dirt and you aren't quite ready yet to start that deep cleaning method, we also looked at how you can take those baby steps toward getting each room organized and ready to be put on more of a maintenance schedule down the road. Of course, obviously, I have just scratched the surface of the topics of cleaning and organizing. We could talk all day about each one of them. But I do have a lot more tips and strategies on my blog, so make sure you check it out at livingrichonless.com. And you can click on the cleaning and organizing categories specifically for these topics. So that pretty much wraps up today's episode. I hope it's been helpful to you in some way. And if so, I would love for you to rate my podcast and or leave me some feedback. Thanks so much. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to the Living Rich Podcast with Susan Penning. For more decorating, organizing, and home and life improvement strategies, visit livingrichonless.com.